Continue these pictures of Old Testament pictures of Christ and use Joseph again. Now we know Joseph has been severely, severely tried. I mean, from the time he was 7 years old, 17 years old, it tells us he was 17 when he was sent out to look for his brothers. And he was taken down into Egypt when he was 17 years old. And he was so severely tried. Remember last time we brought a message, he was in prison. They put him down in prison. And he was took down there through no fault of his own. He didn't do anything. Potiphar's wife laid on him. What was that?
The speaker
popped. Is that one of these speaker popped? Did it? Is that what it was?
I don't know why.
Huh?
I don't know why.
Huh. Well. But anyway, you know, his brethren hated him. They hated him. They hated him for the words that he said. They hated him for the love that his father bore him. And Potiphar's wife, she lied on him. And then he was put in prison. He was put, the butler and the king's butler, Pharaoh's butler and Pharaoh's baker, was put in there with him, numbered with the transgression. And those two men had some dreams. And Joseph interpreted their dreams and told them that the butler would be put back in his place and the baker would be hanged. Well, the butler, the last thing that Joseph asked him in Genesis, let me find it here. Yeah, down in verse 14 of chapter 40, look what he says here. After Pharaoh took the butler back up, put him back in his care again, let him take care of the Pharaoh. But Joseph said to this butler, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." Well, it said 2 years had passed. 2 years had passed, and here he is, Joseph, still in prison. The butler forgot him. The butler didn't remember him. You know, the first time you find the word remember in the Bible, God said that God remembered Noah. Second time it's found in the Bible is that God said, I remember the covenant that I made with thee. And then the first time you have anybody forgetting anybody, when they're asked to be remembered, is Joseph, and the butler didn't remember Joseph. God remembers his people. But this butler, after all the wonderful things that Joseph told him and how he's going to be lifted back up and set back into the presence of Pharaoh to wait on Pharaoh, he said, "Remember me when you get up there. Make mention of me. Please make mention of me." And now, with these trials, he's been severely tried, sold as a slave, put in a house, and the woman lied on him. He's put in prison. There for no fault of his own. His brethren hated him, despised him, lied to their father about him. And we can view our trials in two different ways. We can view them in two different ways. And we're all going to be tried. Ever gets just as sure as God's on his throne, we go through trials. God's ordered our trials for us. Thinking not strange concerning the fiery trials which shall try you. But there's two ways we can view our trials. We can view them from the human side. What people do to us. Joseph's suffering, if you view it from the human side, Joseph's suffering was because of the lie of Potiphar's wife. The ingratitude of the mother, the butler, and his brother's hatred. You could view it from that side. You could view however you go through life and what goes on to you is what somebody else does to you. And find out what they did and all the trouble that goes on because something somebody else did. Or then you can view it from the spiritual side. And that means that your trial comes from the hand of your Father. It comes from God Himself. And I tell you, that's the only way to look at trials. You know, the Lord had sent him into Egypt. God sent him into Egypt. And he was being trained. God put him in school, and it was a hard school he had to go through. He was being trained, he was being prepared for the great work that God had set before him. It's like our Lord Jesus Christ when he came into this world. He came in as an infant and he grew up, but yet he knew beforehand all the sufferings that he'd have to do and what he'd have to go through. And how we look at our trials make all the difference in the world as how we act and how we react to our trials. Now, if you look at it just strictly from the human side, it's going to cause turmoil, bitterness, anger. But if you look at it from the side of God, and all the good, everything that comes to us comes from the hand of God. I mean, all of our trials come from the hand of God. That'll create peace. That'll create satisfaction. That will create patience. And that'll create worship. And that'll create calling on God and looking to Him for all things, for the strength to go through it. So the king of Egypt here had dreamed two dreams. He called the magicians and the wise men out of Egypt to help him interpret these dreams. And then the chief butler remembered. He said, "Oh my. Oh, I remember. There was a Hebrew slave down there. And he told me and another, the baker, all of our future. So Pharaoh sent down to the prison and had Joseph brought up and brought up immediately. 13 years had passed since he had been down into Egypt. So now this man is 30 years old, same time our Lord Jesus Christ entered into the ministry. And here's the first thing I want us to look at. The king's hand is in the heart, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it wheresoever he will, just like the rivers of water. Now, why did this king dream these dreams? Why did he dream them when he dreamed them? Huh? And why did he dream what he dreamed? I'll tell you why. It was because it was time for Joseph to come up out of prison. God uses some strange means to get to his people. So why did this king, this man, have all these two dreams, and nobody could interpret them for him? Because it was time for Joseph to be delivered from prison, and not only to be delivered from prison, to be exalted and set way, way up. And C.H. McIntosh said this: the most trivial, the most important, the most likely, and the most unlikely circumstances are all made to minister to the unfolding of God's purpose in this world. I don't care how trivial or minute or how big or how great it may be. It's just unfolding God's purpose in this world. And that's what's happening here with this king and his dreams. You know, even Satan is an instrument in God's hands. He can't do anything unless God lets him do it. And the angels are in and the principalities are in God's hands. You remember when Satan was going to and fro, and Job chapter 1 said, God said, what are you looking for, Satan? And he said, I'm looking for whom I may devour. And he said, oh, there's my servant Job, perfect. Said, turn me loose on him and he'll curse you to your face. Didn't do it. Went back a second time, take the hedge around him, and then he will. Done that. And I was reading today, that Gadarene maniac, when they went over to the land of Gadarenes, when our Lord Jesus stepped off that boat and stepped on the land, that Gadarene maniac come rushing to him, come rushing to Christ. Here was a man that was living in the tombs, and he'd take stones and rocks and cut himself. And he screamed and cried all the time. Now, if he was somebody like that today, they would have him in an insane asylum, in a state insane asylum somewhere, and have him in a straitjacket. But they couldn't put this man. Nobody could handle him. Nobody could chain him. Nobody could bind him. But he come running to the Lord Jesus Christ, and those demons started speaking. And our Lord Jesus Christ told him, shut up. And then he said, now what is your name? He said, we're legion, because we're many. And he said, did you come to torment us? You going to put us back in hell where we come from? Is that what you going to do? Send us back to torment? And them demons asked him, said, would you, said, there's a, you know, there was 2,000 herd of hogs running around there. And he said, if you would you let us go? And these demons are talking to Christ. Said, would you let us go into this herd of swine? He said, okay, you can go there. But they could not get out of that man. They could not go anywhere until Christ told them they could do it. Huh? I've seen a few people like that over my lifetime. And that's why when Simon Peter said, when our Lord told Simon Peter, Satan has sought to sift you as wheat. And he did sift him as wheat. But I prayed for you. When he does sift you, and he puts you in the crucible, he said, I prayed for you, and your faith fell not. And that's the only reason your faith didn't fail you, because I prayed for you. Huh? And so we see that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turns them so wherever he wants to. And so he did all these dreams for one purpose, to bring Joseph up. Bring Joseph up. And I tell you what, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Oh my, foolishness with God. Look over here. I believe it's in verse 8. Oh, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You know, he said, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt. All of them. I mean, they're everywhere. And all the wise men thereof. Pharaoh told him his dream. But nobody could interpret them. Here's the greatest country on earth, and there wasn't anybody in that kingdom that could help him. He went and called the wisest. He went and called the smartest. He went and called the magicians. He went and called everybody that could help him in any way. And I tell you, they couldn't do a thing for him. I tell you what, the world and its wisdom cannot do anything for its own self or anybody else. The world can't do it. They can't help themselves or anybody else. And I'm telling you, beloved, this is an idolatrous people, a heathen people. And Egypt is a type of the world. And the psalmist David said it, thou, told about God, thou art the fountain of life. And it's in your light that we see light. And these magicians and wise men were impotent. And Pharaoh's made to feel how weak and frail he is, dependent on the arm of the flesh. Nobody can help him. You know what man's wisdom is at his best? You read Isaiah 44 when you get home or tomorrow. And I tell you, you know what you'll read? Fella goes out and he gets him a saw and he cuts him down a big tree. And he takes that tree and he cuts him off two or three pieces of it. And he goes to whittling on it, whittling on it, whittling on it. He gets him a god and he sets him up here. And he wills him another god and he sets him over here. This one here and that one there is two different things. And then he takes the rest of that and he goes over here and puts it in his fireplace so it can stay good and warm. And then he takes some of it and puts it in the oven to bake bread with. He said he feeds on ashes and goes to hell with the right lie in his right hand. That's man at his best. He puts these two gods up here and wants the food. The wood that's left over he eats himself and makes his food with. So I tell you, what was that dim idols going to do for him? Ain't God said, man, listen, Barnard, you say man outside of Christ, he's insane. And I think that may be about right. They ain't got no sense, I know that. And oh my. And Joseph was the only one that had the true wisdom and the light and the understanding. Look what it says down in verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it's not in me. It's not in me. It's not in my power. It's not in my ability. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. God will do it. God will do it. You know, what can the best of the world know? You know, I tell you what, the presidents and all these fellows, they get the best brains that come, that's in America, from all over the world. They get all together, try to figure out how to deal with something. How are we going to deal with this? And how are we going to deal with that? And how are we going to deal with this? And how are we going to deal with that? And they all sit there, and beloved, when it's all said and done, they can't do anything to change nothing.
Amen.
They ain't going to stop no disease. They can't save an economy. They can't save a soul. They can't do nothing for nobody. And yet they're the best that the world's got to offer. Why don't they go to somebody like Joseph? Go to somebody like Christ? And why don't all of them get together and say, I tell you what, let's do. Let's all repent and go before Christ and say, God, forgive us for Christ's sake and give us some wisdom so we'll know what to do.
Yeah.
But they ain't going to do that. You know why? Because he'd get the glory and they ain't going to share their glory. Hey, they like their glory too much. They like their braggadocio. They like their ideas better. And what can the best of the world do? What can they do? Only Joseph can do anything. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, listen, he walked around there on Babylon one day and said, this great Babylon that I have built, God, you know what he did to him? Turned him out as a beast in the field. He is out there eating grass. Fingernails got real long. Hair got real long. And he was out there like that for 7 years. And you know what he said when his reason returned unto him? He said, when my understanding and reason returned unto me, I know this, that the Most High God ruleth in heaven and earth, and the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He said, that includes me. I just found that out, that I'm reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and there ain't nobody going to stay his hand. And old Belshazzar, his son, he took all the gold and goblets and all that stuff out of the temple, and he's sitting there one night having a great big party, drinking wine out of the Lord's, out of the cups and things, the gold cups, having a great big party, using the instruments out of the temple and tabernacle, the temple out of Jerusalem. He's sitting there eating, and all of a sudden there's a big old wall, and a big finger stuck out. Just appeared out of nowhere and began to write. And boy, I tell you, the scripture says this, that his knees smote together. And I tell you what, if you ever been in a situation if people could hear you, you could hear your knees knocking. Well, that's what happened to him. His knees got so scared that his knees began to smite one another. And he looked up, and you know what it said? You're weighed in the balances and found wanting. Huh? Oh my. I tell you what, there's only one person that got the wisdom and the light to give any answers at all. It's the one that God chose, the one that God calls, the one that God sets up, like our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell you something else about this situation. Joseph down there in prison, being greatly tried. Now he's brought up out of Egypt and he's going to be exalted. And there's something that we know without a shadow of a doubt. All things, we know, that's what the first thing he says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Oh, if God would by his grace enable us to see the whole picture. What we deal with, most of the time we deal with our circumstances, present circumstances. We're dealing with right now. But if God blesses us, see the whole picture. The whole picture. Now Joseph, he goes down there 17 years old. In a little while, he is sitting on the throne. He didn't see the whole picture, but I know one thing, he trusted God. And if God would, and you know, that everything you find out that happened in the Scripture that said it, it came to pass. And when a trial comes along, believe me, it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. It'll go, it'll leave. It'll leave like it come. Leave like it come. And oh my, Joseph suffered for a while. And God brought him up and brought him out. I want you to look at a verse of Scripture in Psalm 30 in verse 5. I could quote this to you, but I want you to see this yourself. I haven't used this verse in a long, long time. Psalm 30 and verse 5. Oh my, all things work. And this is what's happening with Joseph here. This king had these dreams. This butler said, oh, I'm at fault. There was a Hebrew, young Hebrew down there in the prison. And oh, he told me just exactly what's going to happen. Look here in verse 5, Psalm 30. For his anger endureth but for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, ain't that a blessing? Now let's look at some typical things of Joseph. Some typical things. Joseph in due time was delivered from prison. And here he is. You know, I told you here, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that Joseph never had any sin. You can't find no sin in Joseph whatsoever. No sin in Daniel whatsoever. But here he is. He was put in prison, sold as a slave, and he was there through no fault, through no sin, no fault of his own. It's time for him to leave that dungeon and ascend to the throne. And that's the way it was with our Lord Jesus Christ. Be it known among you, men and brethren, that this Jesus of Nazareth, seen among you with great signs and wonders, said, God hath delivered him, and by his determinate counsel, and you with wicked hands have slain him, but God hath raised him up, having loosed the pains of death. Oh, you thought you had done with him, but oh no. God raised him up right out of that prison, right out of that dungeon, and raised him up and set him up for everybody to see. And Joseph was delivered from the from prison by the hand of God. Look over here in Genesis 45. You know, Joseph, I know Pharaoh is the one sitting down there to get him, but look what Joseph says. Joseph himself said in Genesis 45:7. And God sent me before you. God said, God sent me. He used you to do it. He used Pharaoh to get me up. But I mean, he says, but God's the ultimate one behind this whole thing. God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. That's a means of great salvation. So now it was not you that sent me here. He remained, you know, but God. And he hath made me father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler through all of Egypt. Haste ye go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord over all of Egypt. Tarry not, get on down here. Oh my. He said, God did this. He said, you didn't send me down here. God sent me here. You know why he sent me here? So you could be saved. You know why God sent Christ into this world? So sinners could be saved. And I've said this time and again, if a man ever becomes a sinner, a real sinner, you've found a saved man. Joseph Murphy came over to the meeting over in Ball and real good attendance, and he was at the motel he was staying in. He asked the woman out there, said, are you a sinner? She said, oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Said, are you a wicked sinner? She said, oh, no, I'm not that bad. So, you know, as long as she can choose what kind of sinner she is, she's all right. But when God makes you a sinner, from the top of your head to the sole of your foot, from the inside of your soul to the outside of your skin, you're a saved man. You're a saved man. And now Joseph not only was delivered by prison by the hand of God, but Joseph is seen as the revealer of secrets. He told Pharaoh his dreams. He told him everything that happened. He told him the secrets of Pharaoh's dreams. He was the revealer of secrets. Pharaoh's wise men was unable to help. And Joseph said, "It's not in me." And you know what our Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, "Listen, the words that I speak, my Father gave me to speak. I only say what He told me to say. I come down here to only speak what my Father gave me to speak. I only use the words that He told me to speak. I'm not here with my own message. I'm here with the message of the Father." And He said, "Everything my Father told me to say, that's exactly what I'm going to say." And that's what Joseph's doing. Everything God told him to do, he did. And He told him, "It's not in me." And you know, somebody, let me tell you this. You and I wouldn't know a thing in the world about God unless somebody told us. We wouldn't know nothing about the Word of God unless somebody told us. We wouldn't know what God's will is unless somebody didn't tell us. And that's what happens with Pharaoh here. He didn't have a clue what was going on. So somebody had to tell him. Huh? Well, who's going to tell him? Joseph's going to tell him. And he showed Pharaoh just exactly something he didn't know and how to go about dealing with it. Look what it said here in verse 25. What Joseph said to Pharaoh. Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. You've had two different dreams, but it's just one dream. Has one purpose." And listen to this. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Well, how's Pharaoh going to know what he's going to do? Joseph's going to tell him. And beloved, that's the blessed thing about it. We wouldn't know nothing if Christ didn't teach us and Christ didn't show us and the Holy Spirit didn't do it. And so Joseph, after he told Pharaoh, he warned. He warned of a coming danger, just like our Lord Jesus did, and he told us how to prepare for it. Look what he told him down here in verse 29. "And behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following. For it shall increase. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it's because the thing is established by God. And God will surely bring it to pass." Now let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this. Now this is what Joseph is telling this man, giving him the wisdom of God, showing him exactly what the best course to take. Because it's like the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph's telling him how to prepare for this thing. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, take up the fifth part of the land in Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the fruit of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And oh, listen to what old Pharaoh said. The thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servant. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you." Oh, boy. Joseph told him exactly what was going to happen. Joseph was not one of these philosophers, a mealy-mouthed preacher that said, "God, listen," he could have told old Pharaoh, said, "God's got such a wonderful plan for your life, Pharaoh. Huh? Something good is going to happen for you today. You're a good man. You're a wonderful fella. And oh, God's got a wonderful thing. And Joseph warned them, and our Lord Jesus Christ warned us. He warned this world. He said, don't you fear that man that can kill your body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul and send them to hell. And our Lord Jesus Christ said it point blank, except you believe I am he, you shall die in your sins. And he said this, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And beloved, he told us exactly the way we're to come to God. And if a man lives without Christ, he dies without Christ. And if a man don't know Christ, he's going to perish without Christ. And our Lord told us, told that bunch flat-footed. And one time they said, oh, you've offended the Pharisees. When he told them some things, and he said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted is going to be rooted up. Don't just let them alone. And God says, let you alone, you're in trouble. Oh, just leave them alone. Oh, our Lord warned. He even said, he told us what hell was going to be like. Do you know that? He let us have a glimpse into hell. Lazarus laid at that rich man's gate. That rich man went in and out, and he just laid there and begged, and his sores all over him, the dogs licking him. Well, that rich man died, and the scripture said he went to hell. And he looked up to Abraham and said, Abraham! Father Abraham, is it you? Would you let Lazarus stick his finger just in a glass of water and just let him drop it on my tongue? And Abraham said, nope. No, he can't do that. In this world, you had your good things, now the bad. He had the bad, now he's got the good. And Allah let us know. And I'll tell you something about that man. He never repented. He never asked out of there. He never said, I'm sorry. He's never said, I wished I'd have took better care of my money. I wished I'd have took better care of the poor. Never said any of those things. He was interested in one thing. Relief. Relief. All right. And Joseph is seen as the wonderful, wonderful counselor. He's seen as the wonderful counselor. Oh my, by interpreting his dreams, the meaning Joseph gave the wise counsel, oh my, it's like our Lord Jesus Christ. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the wisdom and power of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's another thing. Joseph is exalted and set over all Egypt. Look down here in verse 39 again. Joseph exalted and set over all Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God had showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over all my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Huh? And oh my. He went from being in prison garments, from shame to glory, from prison to a throne, from being a slave to being ruler over everything, over everything. And then Joseph was exalted to the throne because of his own personal worth. You know, he had this wonderful worth. He had this spirit in him, the spirit of God. It said in verse 38, the spirit of God was in him. And he, his worth, personally, he had worth in himself. But no one has the worth and the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, God gave him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. And oh my, and Joseph, he's on the throne now. He's on the throne. I mean, he hadn't been out of prison in the first days out. He went from being in prison to being the number one man all over Egypt, besides Pharaoh. How'd that happen? And Joseph was dressed for his new position. Look what I said in verse 42. He's dressed for his new position. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it up on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And our Lord Jesus Christ, God hath highly exalted him. But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. But God raised him up. God raised him up. And he's dressed. And I tell you what, I look forward to being dressed. I got this wonderful dress on now, but boy, when I don't have his flesh to deal with. And Joseph, authority and glory are publicly owned. Listen to this now. Publicly owned. Everybody going to own it one of these days. Look what it said here in verse 43. And he made him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, "Bow the knee, bow the knee." And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And he said, right by room for him, "Bow the knee, bow the knee." And boy, when he come by, folks hit the knee. But man, I am thankful. I am thankful, and I've told you before, I've done bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. I gladly bow my knees to him. God done brought me to where I bow. And this is the place where you got to bow. Right here. Bowing the knee ain't going to do you any good. But when that heart's in submission, when that heart is bowing before him. Huh? And And then this is the last thing. And I hope I haven't held you too long. And Joseph received a new name from Pharaoh. Look down in verse 45. He got him a new name. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And I tell you what, he was the revealer of secrets. But our Lord, when he come into this world, they gave him a name. They gave him a name. What are you going to name this child? The angel told Mary, said, "This is what I want you to call him. I want you to call him Jesus." And that angel told her this, "For he shall save his people from their sins." Just the very name showed us the pledge and promise of salvation. It was pledge and promise just by his blessed name. And God's exalted his name above all else. He's the Savior. He's the only Savior. He was shamed in his dying hour. But beloved, he sits right now, like Joseph did, the highest position in this universe. All powers subject unto him. What a blessed Savior we have. Joseph is just a faint glimmer of what our Lord Jesus Christ really is. Our Father, our Father, our Father, our Father. Blessed be your glorious, holy, righteous name for allowing us to meet here tonight, for taking up your gospel, taking up your word. Your word is so delightful, so encouraging, gives us such light, gives us such understanding. And Lord, when you give us eyes to see, it brings such joy to our hearts. Such joy. Our hearts leap for joy at times over the things we see concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless these dear saints. Lord, bless Wanda and her kids and her children, her grandchildren, for what they're dealing with right now. God bless Brother Bruce. Please bring glory to yourself through them in this situation and through us, for Christ's sake. Amen. I'll see you Wednesday, God willing.